السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الرحمن علم القرآن، خلق الإنسان علمه البيان، الشمس والقمر بحسبان، والنجم والشجر يسجدان، والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان، ألا تطغوا في الميزان، وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان، والأرض وضعها للأنام، فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام، والحب ذو العصف والريحان، فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher and protector. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I enjoin upon myself and all of you all seated here to adopt a life of taqwa. For it is only through a life of taqwa can a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attain success in this world, likewise the hereafter. May Allah the Almighty make us all from the people of taqwa. InshaAllah ta'ala, today's khutbah is going to be about the message or the message of mercy. Our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has blessed us with Islam, which in reality is a message of mercy. Likewise, Allah the Almighty, our beloved maker, our creator, sustainer, nourisher and protector, He is known as Ar-Rahman, the most merciful. Our beloved Prophet, our beloved Master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He was sent to the face of this earth as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were not sent except as a mercy for the worlds. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also a mercy. Now in regard to a very famous hadith which talks about mercy, I'll mention the hadith as we go, but in regard to that very hadith, that hadith is from a category known as Musalsal in the science of ahadith. It is known as Musalsal. So what is Musalsal or Musalsalat? Musalsalat are generally ahadith, narrations of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which not only contain the words of our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also perhaps a gesture or two of our Master. And that particular gesture has been handed down until today. Even now, amidst us, we have scholars who have a broken chain, who have an unbroken chain until our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me give you an example for examples bring about clarity. Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith that once he shook hands with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made musafaha with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes on to describe the blessed hands of our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's palm or his hands was softer than silk. Allahu Akbar. And from that day, my dear brothers in Islam, that very hadith has been transmitted one after the other until it has reached us with the handshake. Each scholar of Islam, as he transmits the hadith to another person, for example, Anas radiallahu anhu will have narrated the hadith to another sahabi, he did the handshake and showed us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Another example, another sahabi, if I'm not mistaken, Ali radiallahu anhu, he gets on his animal, his conveyance, he gets on top of it, he mentions the adi'iyah, such as he makes the adkar, and then he recites the dua, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Afterwards, he looks at the people around him and gives them a beautiful smile. He smiles. To which the sahaba, radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, asked Ali radiallahu anhu, ya amir al-mu'mineen, why are you smiling? Then Ali radiallahu anhu clarifies by saying, this is exactly the way I saw my beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it. He climbed on top of his animal, he recited the adi'iyah, the adkar, and then he looked at us and smiled. So that is why I am also smiling. And then from there onwards, my dear brothers in Islam, every narrator who transmitted the hadith until today, even now we have madaris, we have institutions, where when they teach this very hadith, they do this action. For example, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed some dates in that gathering while narrating that particular hadith, even today, even in the madrasa or the institute where I studied, where I graduated from, when we came to that hadith, we did it. We passed around dates, the teacher would pass around dates and then narrate the hadith. Allahu Akbar. Now the point I'm trying to highlight over here, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is where on earth or where in the annals of history can you find a man who was loved like our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much to the extent that not only were his words protected, even his actions and gestures, Allahu Akbar. Even his smile, his handshake, him distributing a few dates, even those were protected and transmitted until this very day. And from those musalsalat, now I hope you have an understanding about what musalsalat is. So, from those musalsalat, we have a category called musalsalat al-awwaliyya. Now these hadith, this category, is known as musalsalat al-awwaliyya because the scholars of Islam themselves have chosen this very hadith to begin their discourses on hadith. For example, you have a course on a hadith, the scholars of Islam unanimously, without talking and coming to a decision, they themselves naturally have started with this hadith. And what is this hadith, my dear brothers in Islam? Musalsalat al-awwaliyya. What is this hadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, hadith is in Tirmidhi, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman, irhamu man fil ardh. Allahu Akbar. Hadith in regard to mercy. Ar-Rahman, the ones who show mercy to one another, the Rahman, the most merciful, our beloved Maker will have mercy on them. Irhamu man fil ard, show mercy unto those who are on the face of this earth. يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The ones in the heavens, that is Allah the Almighty and the Malaika, they will have mercy upon you. This is the hadith, my dear brothers in Islam, Musalsal Al-Awwaliyah, which most of the scholars begin their discourses with. Like I said, they did not come have a round table meeting and decide on this, that you know, we'll start all over the world, we'll start our discourses with this very hadith. No. Rather, naturally it took place. And due to that coincidence, this hadith came to the top of the line, and scholars go on to say why we start with this hadith, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is because Islam is a message of mercy. Islam is a message of mercy. And my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is mandatory upon me and you, all of us, to thank our beloved Maker for this blessing that He has blessed us with. The blessing of Deen, the ni'mah of Deen. Many of us, we were born into the fold of Islam. And this is the very reason why we don't consider our religion, our Deen, Islam, as the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the brothers who come into the fold of Islam, the converts, they value the Islam that they have accepted. But we, on the other hand, we remain oblivious to it. It is mandatory upon us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, it is mandatory upon us to thank Allah the Almighty for all of the blessings that He has blessed us with. For all the blessings that we see around us, that are around us, whether you take it within our own lives or those aspects that you see around yourself. And I go on to say, even if it be positive or negative, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me clarify, when I say positive and negative, even the things, you understand what is positive. But when you say negative, even the calamities, even the afflictions, even the trials, even the diseases, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through, it is upon you to thank Him for it. Why? There is a reason. There is a reason. Our futile minds cannot perceive what is happening behind the scenes. But Allah the Almighty, His master plan is at work. He knows what is best for you. If He puts you through a disease, through a calamity, perhaps you have distanced yourself from Allah and He wants you to come back to Him. Perhaps you have sinned and He wants to forgive you for your sins. And through that very disease, perhaps you are going to become a wali from the awliya of Allah. May Allah the Almighty make us all from the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah. A good example to clarify that point, my dear brothers in Islam, is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was crossing the border of Misr from Palestine with his beloved wife, Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know the story, I'm not going to go in depth. He was crossing the border. Now at that time, Misr, Egypt, was ruled by a dictator, a corrupt king who was a pervert. He had all kinds of evil desires and lusts. He had a fetish for other men, their women. He had a fetish for other men's women. He wanted other men's wives. This was his desire. So his orders to his bodyguards, at the, you know, the sentries at the border, like, if any man or any caravan were to cross our borders, first question them in regard to their women. Just in case they reply saying, she is my mother, or she is my sister, or she is my daughter, let them go. But the minute he says that she is my wife, then take hold of that woman, capture her and bring her to me. This was his order to his sentries. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam now comes close to the border of Egypt and he finds out about this problem. Now he realizes what a big problem he is about to face. He reaches the border, immediately the sentries question him in regard to Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam. Who is she? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam immediately replies saying that she is my sister in Islam. Now a point to be clarified before I go on is that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not lie. There were three statements in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam which looked like a lie. But even, now this statement, for example, he had an interpretation in his mind and it was for the greater good. It was to save his wife. What he intended in his heart was that she is my sister in Islam. She is my sister in Islam. So the minute he said this, the soldiers were about to leave them. But then the beauty of Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam captivated them, because she was indeed a very beautiful woman, Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam. They said, no, our king would really want to see this amazing beauty, and they took hold of her and started to drag her towards the palace. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in a problem, he immediately turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. This is also a lesson for us. Whenever we face a problem, a misfortune, the first thing that we need to do is turn to Allah the Almighty. He turns to Allah, and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah the Almighty immediately made the palace look as if it was glass. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had a 360 degrees view of what was happening inside the palace without CCTV cameras. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was looking. Now why did Allah the Almighty do this? This was to put His beloved Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his heart at ease, because he did not want any suspicion, any evil thought to cross his mind that perhaps something could have happened inside, something bad could have happened to my wife. So he was looking at what's happening inside. On the other hand, now Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, she goes into the palace. The king, the minute he sees her amazing beauty, he could not contain himself. He reaches out to touch her. He reaches out to touch her. She also, being the wife of the Khalil of Allah, the friend of Allah, she raises her hands in prayer. Ya Allah, don't let this evil tyrant touch me. Save me from him. The minute she prays to Allah, that evil king's hand falls to his side, paralyzes itself and falls to his side. He immediately cries out, what is this blasphemy that you have practiced on me? You pray and immediately release me from this problem, I'm not going to harm you. So then she once again prays to Allah, his hand goes back to normal. But like I said, he was an evil, corrupt, tyrant, dictator. He could not contain himself. Once again, he outstretches his hand. This is the second time. And then it happens for a second time, his hand falls to his side and he does it a third time. Now the third time when Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, look, you people have brought me some kind of a witch. Please take her out of my palace. I promise you, I will not harm you. No evil will come to you. Rather, on the other hand, I gift you a special gift. I gift you Hajar. I gift you a Hajar. Alayha salatu wasalam. Now, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the point that I'm trying to highlight here or make stand out is that at the outset of it, how did it look to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? It looked as a misfortune, a trial, a calamity. You know, you and I, if we were in his shoes, we could be like, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing this to me or us? But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew that Allah's plan is in motion. Now what happened? Through this trial and calamity comes about Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, who believes in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the message of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and through that blessed union, through that marriage between Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, who is born? Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And through the lineage of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, who comes about, my dear brothers in Islam? Our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Through a calamity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to the face of this earth, the greatest thing ever to happen to this mankind, the greatest thing ever to happen on the face of this earth, the birth of our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope I've made my point clear. So at the outset of it, it looked like a calamity, but Allah's plan was in motion. Allah's plan was in motion, and He brought about the lineage where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, as we need to acknowledge that we are indeed wallowing in an ocean of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single aspect around us, within our lives, all of it have been permeated in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saturated in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing is full of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty, He introduces Himself to us, or teaches us how to introduce Himself. Allah the Almighty, if even a non-Muslim were to question us about Allah, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce Himself to us? The first chapter of the noble Quran, Suratul Fatiha. the opening. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begin? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamd belongs to Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen. Why I did not translate it, my dear brothers in Islam, is because the beauty in the Arabic language is no language on the face of this earth can match the Arabic language. On this verse alone, scholars have written volumes of tafaseer. Just one verse. English translation generally restricts itself to one or two words. But we lack the beauty when we try to translate it to the English language. Allah the Almighty says, Alhamd. Now, in regard to Alhamd, I just want to talk about two or three ayat with the few minutes that I've got. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Alhamd, how do we translate it? All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Alhamd is a much broader term. The scholars of tafaseer, they mention that Hamd consists of two things. Al-Madh and Shukr. Or Madh wa Sana and Shukr. Two things. Two things are within the word Alhamd. So what is Madh? Madh is praise. Sana is praise. And the second aspect of Hamd is Shukr. Gratitude. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in general, when we were to see, these two things cannot come in one word. For example, if you were to admire someone. For example, if you like a motor vehicle or a particular building, you would say, you would praise the motor vehicle saying, this is a lovely car. It's a Mercedes or it's a BMW, it's a lovely car. You would praise it. But would you go and say, thank you Mercedes, thank you BMW, or thank you the Burj Khalifa? You wouldn't thank. You would admire, praise the architecture. You would admire, praise the engineering of the car. But you would not thank it. So praise is generally restricted to praise alone. And if you were to say about thanking, for example, if you take the example of parents, Alhamdulillah, all of our parents are in the fold of Islam. But just say, for example, a person has parents who are not in the fold of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring all of mankind to the fold of Islam. Say they aren't in the fold of Islam. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command that particular Muslim or that particular mu'min? Allah says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فلا تطعهما إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He enjoins وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. He enjoins upon mankind that they treat their parents well. And then Allah goes on to say that even if they are on the fold of kufr, they aren't in the fold of Islam, even if they are on kufr, you are supposed to treat them well, but you aren't supposed to obey them if they command you towards shirk, if they command you towards associating partners unto Allah, if they command you towards something which is outside the fold of Islam, you aren't supposed to obey them, but you're supposed to treat them well. So this particular slave of Allah, he would thank his parents, he would thank them for all the good that they have done, how they brought him up. Today he is who he is because of what his parents did to him. He would thank them, but he would never praise them. He wouldn't praise them for the kufr they are on. So generally when you say praise restricts itself to praise, and shukr, thankfulness, restricts itself to gratitude or thankfulness. But the speciality of hamd in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simultaneously at the same time. We recite Suratul Fatiha how many times a day? Almost 17 times. For in our 5 times salawat, peace. Now when we recite, when the Imam says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, at least now these words would come to our mind saying, Ya Allah, we praise you, and likewise we thank you. Thank you for all the blessings, for the mercy that you have shown upon us. Every single thing, like I said in the beginning, every single aspect of our life has been saturated in the divine, infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah goes on, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I did not translate Rabb too. Now Rabb has so many meanings, Allahu Akbar. Normally when we start a khutbah we say, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector, maker, curer. All of these meanings, you name it, these are all inculcated in the word Rabb. But in English you generally translate it as master or lord. But all of these meanings are within the word Rabb. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this ayah alone would leave you engrossed in the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next ayah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah says Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most beneficent. This is how we translate it, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now these two words, and this is why, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is extremely important upon every slave of Allah to go in depth into the science of the glorious names of Allah and in regard to His attributes. For only if you study the names of Allah the Almighty would you understand what a powerful maker you prostrate 5 times a day unto. All we know is Allah. Who is Allah? What are His attributes? How does He describe Himself? For the more we dive into the ocean of His names and attributes, we understand what a powerful and great maker we are worshipping. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Both of these names, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, stem from the same root, which is Rahma, which is the topic of today's khutbah. Rahma, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Both stem from the same root, but then they have slight differences in regard to both. Now if you were to take the word Ar-Rahman, you see this scale in the Arabic language is known as Waznul Mubalagha. Waznul Mubalagha. Ar-Rahman, Atushan, Jaw'an, all of these scales. It takes the meaning of a particular word, takes it to levels of extreme. So when we say Ar-Rahman, Allah is the most merciful in the highest levels of mercy. That's what we mean when we say Ar-Rahman. And when we say Ar-Rahman, what we mean is Allah the Almighty is showing His mercy to us right now where we are seated. In our day-to-day lives, 24/7, Allah the Almighty is showering His mercy upon us. But we remain oblivious to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And the third thing, elders and brothers in Islam, in regard to this particular scale is, when you say Ar-Rahman, that mercy is not going to last forever. That mercy is not going to last forever. You see, the non-Muslims, they have so much of hope. Perhaps the Christians or the Jews, they only have hope in the mercy of God. They say whatever sin we do, He is bound to forgive us. But we on the other hand, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we have two wings. We have two wings. One wing is hope. Like I said, we have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other wing is khawf. We also fear Allah the Almighty. We fear His anger. We fear His ghadab. We fear His punishment. We fear Him. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, and likewise Allah is Shadeedul Iqab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from His punishment and anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He calls Himself Ar-Rahman, that quality is not going to last for long, it is temporary. So scholars of Tafatir, they mention, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that this particular attribute, Ar-Rahman, is confined to this world. Is confined to this world, and it is in general, whether the slave of Allah be Muslim or non-Muslim. For everyone, this attribute applies. Because isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeding those who are not worshipping Him? Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them water to drink when Allah the Almighty could not have given them? But Allah is giving all of them, manifesting His mercy, because He is Ar-Rahman. On the other hand, Ar-Rahim, as Allah says in another place in the Noble Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Allah the Almighty with the mu'minun, with the believers, He is Rahimah. So this particular quality of Allah is specific to the believers, and this aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us on the day of Qiyamah. And that is only for the mu'minun. Allahu Akbar. And you see, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, likewise, if you were to look at our deen in a nutshell, every single, perhaps you take Surah Ar-Rahman, I actually wanted to go into it but ran out of time. Surah Ar-Rahman, every ayah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is linked to the first ayah, which says, Ar-Rahman. Allah is the most merciful. Every single ayah relates back to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take Allam al-Quran, that He taught you the Quran, that is also linking to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave us knowledge. You take Khalaq al-Insan, He created us for a purpose, so that we worship Him and through that gain His pleasure, gain entry into Jannah. It is an aspect of mercy. Allamahu al-Bayan, Allah created mankind and taught him how to express Himself. Today, currently in the world, there are 7,000 languages. 7,000. Not English, Arabic, Hindi, Malayalam. 7,000 languages we don't even know the names of. Human beings are using it to communicate between themselves. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. We taught him how to express and communicate. This is also from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to know 7,000 languages. You could even communicate with your facial expressions. With your facial expressions. These are all from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah goes on to say, in regard to the shams and the qamar, these are all great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the sun, we would not be able to live. Without the moon, there would be no tides in the ocean. The moon slows down the gravitational rotation of the earth. If not for the moon, we would be spinning so fast that, you know, the whole earth would have caught up in flames. So many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were to discuss each ayah, we would need khutbah after khutbah to discuss how these ayahs relate and link themselves to the ocean of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the final point that I wish to highlight is that we can talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can say that Allah is the most merciful, but we need to inculcate the trait of mercy in our own lives. We need to show mercy to one another, to our brothers in Islam, to our family, to our children. For, like I said in the hadith, only if you show mercy, will Allah show mercy unto you. And show those who are on the face of this earth, and the ones who are in the heavens, Allah and the Malaika will show mercy unto you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with mercy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us show mercy to one another. May Allah the Almighty keep us united. Unite our hearts and not let us disunite. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins and accept all of our deeds. And may Allah the Almighty unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah. And may Allah the Almighty bless us with the best in this world and the hereafter. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhir da'wah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.